And we're back here on In Focus. You're listening to News Radio KMAN. I'm Brandon Peoples. Dave Lewis in studio as well. And we're chatting with Jason Smith, Manhattan Area Chamber of Commerce President and CEO. And next month, I understand it, as the budget process continues here in Riley County, you'll actually be presenting to the commission on July 9th.
Yeah, so July 9th, the Chamber and the Convention Visitors Bureau, which is part of the Chamber, most people know, will be in front of the Commission for our quarterly report. And as part of that, we will be presenting our budget requests for the next year. And of course, Karen, her budget is funded, or CVB budget is funded from guest tax that's paid at the hotels. Not all the guest taxes is put towards tourism marketing, but there is a percentage of it that is, and she will go forward and make that request in addition to talking about the accomplishments for the last year. And so in my understanding, because she's already submitted that, my understanding is that that'll be basically a flat budget. So because we understand where we are in budget periods, and so things are a little challenging for the commissioners right now, and we appreciate that. Then on the economic development side, which right now, and this is really an unusual situation for a community our size, and historically, and this goes back close to 20 years, our economic development program is substantially funded by private sector investment. And so as it stands right now, our economic development program at the Chamber is 80% funded by private individuals and private companies through a program we call Advantage Manhattan. In most communities our size, you will see at the most that typically tends to be 50%. In most places that are communities that are our size, you will see a lot more investment that's made through public sector investments, whether that's county or city, depending on how they're funded. So, for instance, in Norman, when I was over the Economic Development Program, in Norman, 25% of our budget was from private investments. When I was in Lincoln, it was 50% was from private investments. And again, in Manhattan, we've been 80% funded through private investments. And that was part of what attracted me to this community, is that the number one thing you have to have in economic development, in my opinion, is you have to have leadership from your private sector, because that's their success and their involvement tends to be what other private companies look at when they're evaluating communities. The other thing that I think private sector leadership does in that area is they tend to think of things more in economic cycles. And unfortunately, I've been in communities where the public sector has driven economic development, and it's okay, but there is a lot more thought about elections and, you know, what's going to happen in the next election that doesn't happen when you have organizations where you have a lot of private sector leadership. And so good balance of that, we think, is really important. As we've talked about in here before, we about 18 months ago set out on the strategic planning effort, which at first was called Greater Manhattan Project, then morphed into Region Reimagine. And some of that process is adding substantially to what we would do normally as historically from the Economic Development Program. And so we're going to need to start that conversation with not only our private community, but with the commissioners about the activities that were part of that strategic plan, what we think the results from those activities will be, how we can maybe readjust some things that we've been doing that, as we talked about earlier, nothing in the economy stays the same. So maybe we need to make some adjustments and realignments, and then come to a decision about what's the most important things to fund and how we're going to fund it. So we'll start that conversation on July 9th as well. You know, there are things like how much more do we want to get into attracting and retaining workers, because we all know we have a low unemployment rate. It's extremely difficult to attract new jobs if they don't feel like they're going to be able to attract workers. And so while you may not be able to solve the problem ahead of time, the idea that you have a plan and that you are going to partner with the companies that will be adding jobs is really attractive when they're evaluating communities, and so we need to think about that. I'm a big believer that we need to spend a lot of time and a lot of effort, certainly more than we're doing now, encouraging and promoting business startups and entrepreneurship. We have some funds that we use to that, and I know one of the things you and I talked about earlier was a small business development center. We help fund that program so that that's here, but what are some other things we can do in terms of accelerators, incubators, you know, proof of concept assistance, phase one research grants? What else can we do in that sector that would encourage more startups? Because in the long term, locally owned companies are going to have the greatest impact on communities. And we see that with some of our locally owned companies and what they do outside of their business and the investments they're making. And I don't want to call anybody out specifically by name, but if you take a look at some of our locally owned businesses and the redevelopment projects they're doing downtown that are unrelated necessarily to their business, or their the sponsorships of youth sports, or the sponsorships of school activities, or all the things that, our locally owned businesses do, we have to continue to grow that. And I think overall, if we continue, if we have a good mix of large national companies, startups, mature locally owned companies, that is the number one recipe for our economic health moving forward.
Very good. Well, as part of the economic development discussion here, would housing be paired in with that at all?
I think housing is extremely important. You know, if you're starting out in your career, and there's a lot of research on this that some of it is very some of it conflicts with other research. But I think if you think about and you put yourself in that position and you start thinking about if you're starting your career and you're single and have the ability to, go where you want, the two things that you are going to think about are, am I going to have a job and am I going to have a place to live? Now, there are people who are definitely more adventurous than others who are willing to say, well, I'm going to live here whether I have a job or not. Or, well, I'm going to take that job and I'll figure out what I'm going to do when I get there as far as living. I'll just crash on couches or something until I find something. But we know in talking to our graduates, and, this is in other communities that I've worked at as well, the cost of housing is very influential into their decision making in, terms of where they want to live. And it's not just cost, it's because, you know, you can't just build, you know, inexpensive housing on the edge of town and say, oh, we've taken care of it. You know, it's inexpensive housing. I think young people, in terms of people we're trying to encourage to live here, want to be in core neighborhoods, or at least in neighborhoods where there's walkability and there's services nearby, because we do know that, young people want to use their cars less than our generations did, and so that's a concern to them. Public transit is a concern. There's only so much of that you can do, but it is something that factors in. In terms of attracting professionals, so if you're a company and you're attracting a 20-year experienced, you know, IT or engineer, that's another thing they're going to evaluate when they look at the community. So they're going to say, okay, how much am I going to get paid? Then what's the buying power of that of those dollars? And you know, most we're similar to a lot of college communities in that. Our cost of living is a little higher probably than what other communities our size are, and a lot of that can be attributed to housing. And so we think it's something that's important. We have part of the discussion around Region Reimagined has been trying to at best get a community housing study completed. You know, at the most, we would love to see that actually be regional, because we do know that people live in Manhattan and work in Wamego, and people live in Junction City and work in Manhattan, and vice versa. And so to look at it individually probably doesn't tell the whole story. And so it would be nice to have a regional housing study. But at minimum, we are going to support, and we don't know. Hopefully it'll make in the budget, but we would support a housing study from the city of Manhattan and, funding that this year. And so that's a great opportunity to, kind of evaluate where we are, specifically as it relates to the people that we're competing with for talent.
All right. Well, Let's continue the discussion on Region Reimagined. Let's do that on the other side of the break here. We'll continue with Jason Smith after this on News Radio KMAN.
The KMAN Morning Show is brought to you by Pew Communication Services, a division of Economy.